I think after this song, it was the perfect time to do what the Lord has put upon our hearts for many, many months now that we've been praying into, and we've just been waiting for God's timing. And this song is perfect. Peter and Heather, come on up. We just want to share our hearts with you for a little bit. When you walk as a church, when we walk into deep, intimate relationship with Jesus, there's so many misconceptions on what that's about. I hear it all the time. Well, okay, you're people of his presence. You do this nice, feel-good worship. And okay, when are you going to really go out and do something now? But what people don't understand is, as a bride, when we're called into the intimate presence of Jesus, we're called to follow him, to follow his life. And his life leads into rejection. He suffered rejection. His life was a life of suffering, purity, holiness. And so when we're called into an intimate relationship with Jesus, I can promise you one thing for sure. It will always take you to the cross. So it's a misconception that, oh, that's all we do is sit around and feel good in our nice, warm, cozy worship places. Yes, we do. I get cozy with Jesus every day in my quiet time. I mean, it is a heaven time for me every day. But boy, has he led me to the cross over and over and over and over again with a life marked with suffering. So if you're going to be a true follower of Jesus, it is a life marked with suffering. But as Hebrews chapter 12 says, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible where I lived for many, many years, that later on, after you go through these periods of suffering and purification, later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness and a joy beyond your wildest imagination, and a joy that will never, ever be taken from you, because it's the solid foundation on which we stand. And when your lives are rooted in God, they will never, ever be uprooted, or your call will not be derailed, or what God is calling you to do will never be derailed if you're a people of his presence. And part of being the people of his presence is a call to holiness. The Lord, you know, the closer you get to Jesus, the more his light, exposes my darkness. And so it's a true call to holiness in our intimate relationship with Jesus. And so there's something in our vineyard history we feel like it's not quite complete yet. So I'm just going to share from my heart. In discerning team, we're encouraged, you know, be honest, be open, share from the heart. And when you refer to the vineyard and stuff like that, so often what I hear, oh yeah, the Toronto thing, you guys separated. Like, can we get past this thing? Like, it's become part of our identity, and this isn't our identity. Our identity is a powerful movement in the Lord Jesus Christ, a church planting movement. And so, you know, we have this crummy identity on us. And well, a couple months ago, it was in the fall, right? Or was it in the fall? October. We invited Peter and Heather into our church. They're amazing people from Catch the Fire Ministries in Toronto to do a marriage retreat for us. And they were just so open, you know, just humble and eating humble pie. And it was about repentance and stuff like that. And they were here for a Saturday night, and then they were going to speak on a Sunday morning. Well, I woke up on Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit was just, I was beside myself. The Holy Spirit was on me so heavy. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about that Toronto thing and just put such an ache in my heart for my family members in Toronto. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, we were to invite Peter and Heather back and just to deal with some unfinished business. That the Lord wanted to do something and heal something at a deeper level. And so I presented it to Peter and Heather on Monday at lunch when they came, you know, for lunch at our house on Monday. And it so resonated with their spirit. You know, and I said, would you consider, would you pray about coming to a prayer summit and helping us pray about this? And they didn't need to pray about it. Boom. Yes, we'll be there. You know, and so that was very, very confirming. Now, in prefacing all this, I have to share with you, there are no problems in the Vineyard leadership with Toronto. There was reconciliation. There is peace in the leadership with the Vineyard and Catch the Fire Ministries. That's been dealt with. They love each other. They have blessed each other. It's good. Okay? It's really, really good. But the thing that I'm hearing as I go across the country is there's still pain. Now, they do counseling. I've done counseling for 30 years. And you know that a wound is healed when you can refer back to it. And there are no more tears. There's no more pain. But if you press on an area and people are going, ooh, then you know, okay, we need to pray into that a little bit more. We're not totally prayed through what needs to be healed yet. So that's what this is about. It's about leadership dealt with these issues. But there are all of us guys, you know, guys and gals, the ground roots folks who are still sad about it. And we need to get past that. The Lord wants us to be fruitful again. And you know, there is such a holy, holy homesickness in our hearts for our brothers and sisters in Toronto that it's really about, gee, I miss family. You know, my dad was a Lutheran pastor. I'm just going to share it from my heart. He was a Lutheran pastor. In fact, he was a leader in the Lutheran church. He was president of the Evangelical Lutheran Churches, and he oversaw churches in the nation and in the nations. And so I'm hardcore Lutheran. But, you know, the Vineyard hooked my heart. All my life, you know, the growth and the way I was able to be a woman in the Canadian Vineyard and Gary and Joy bless women in ministry. I don't know if there's any other place on the planet that I could feel so blessed to move. So when I left the Lutheran church and became part of the Vineyard, I go, oh my God, how am I going to tell my dad? I mean, he thinks people who speak in tongues are crazy. And he said, Ruth, do you do that? And then he said, do it for me. So I had to sit there and start praying in the spirit with my father. And he just goes, I don't know. I don't know. But you know, my dad loved Jesus. And he's passed on now. I know he's in heaven. And he had this passionate love for the church. But he was gone that direction and I was gone this direction. But you know, we were still family. And he finally came to accept the fact that I'm Lutheran, but I just tell him, I just join more of the church. You know, and this is my stream. And this is where I feel like I can blossom. But you know, he loved me to the day that he died. And we had still a Jesus connection. Because you know what? We're family. So that relationship was beautiful. But we're family. And that's what this is about. I forgave my dad for rejecting my stream and worked through all those father-daughter issues. But boy, we loved each other and we hugged And so that's what this is about. We're family. And who's homesick? You know, it doesn't matter what stream we're in. It's just about homesick. And family is always family, right? That's my heart. And so I feel like the Lord wants to take us into, first of all, prayers of repentance and forgiveness. Lots of judgments came against Vineyard leadership. Like, I can't even conceive how John Wimber could have stood under all the pressure that he was under, the criticisms. I mean, bashing him, a good man who loved Jesus and ministered and brought thousands to Christ. And John Arnott, who just had such a passion for God, flowing in a slightly different stream. You know, and these men took such judgment and criticism. This is not about ever visiting that. And I believe that part of our time of repentance is to ask God to forgive us on behalf of the body in the ways that we have judged these leaders who are just men trying to follow their heart and be led by the Spirit to the best of their ability with all the human weaknesses that we all display. It's about grace and mercy and the blood of the Lamb. And so, you know, the carpet is clean and there's not a lot of dirt under the carpet, but there are a few dust bunnies left. And we want to deal with just a few of the dust bunnies. Because something that I have also observed, that we came, this going our separate ways came in 1995. And in 1998, we as a nation became our own entity. They blessed us in the States to become a nation under the leadership of Gary and Joy Best. So blessed. I just want to honor them today for the service, the prayers, I mean, the stuff they poured into our nation. But it's very interesting that since that event, which we don't want to define us anymore, that it just feels like we went from 65 church plants and churches across Canada, and we're down to 60. And the Lord said, this is a new season of fruitfulness. And I believe with all my heart that this is His invitation to us. Come, let's finish the job, because I believe He wants to take a lid off of us. And as I ask them, what has this affected you guys at all? Because you guys look like you're doing really good. Has it just affected us? And they said, no, it's affected them too. And so it's a season of fruitfulness. And to the best of my ability, I just want to be obedient to the voice of the Lord, clean out some dust bunnies, and then we'll make those prayers of declaration, proclamation, and blessing. And we'll see what God can do. Because this is about foundations. You know? And we don't have to be defined in our life by a tragedy. You all have a tragedy in your life. Wimber wrote the most beautiful book, Living with Uncertainty. It's one of my favorites. It's a tiny, skinny book. And you know, tragedy is going to come in all of our lives. But if we build that solid foundation on Jesus Christ, the rug won't be pulled out from under you. That's what He said. And your life does not have to be defined by a tragic event, by an abuse, by a divorce, by this, by that. Because this is a time of new beginnings. And we are a people of intercession. And there's an alignment coming in the Spirit with our governmental authority, that we speak it, we prophesy the word of God, and our family members are going to be blessed, and the Vineyard is going to come in a new season of blessing. And back to what God has called us to do, bring many, 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 many thousands, millions to faith in Jesus Christ and to plant those churches to the glory of God. So that's my heart. That's what's on my heart. It's just a little family conversation. Okay? Be it right or wrong, in my weakness and my screwed up perception, this is what I believe I heard the Father say. And all I can say is, Heather, you said it so beautifully. Those three words. I love these three words.
Well, when we were going through the change, just God just said, stay little, stay low, and stay in love. Yeah.
Would you share your heart, Sam?
Sure. Okay. Hello. Other than Christ himself, in our past 34 years, two men affected our lives. I can speak for both of us, I guess, in this part. There's a man named Jack Winter who mentored us in the Father Heart of God. And our lives were changed. And the other man was John Wimber. And the DNA... When God breathed those words into me, you know, the change from vineyard to partners wasn't the first change we ever went through in our lives. And each time, when you're family, it's different if you're just building an army. You change platoons or careers, but I'm not a career soldier. That's not who I am. I'm a mom and I'm a family member, and I think the hardest thing about all of it was seeing people have to pick where to go. And it's still, that part is still going on.
Yeah, it is.
And we were the first church plant out of the Toronto airport in Barrie, Ontario, and A real son to us in the spirit is here, is Jeff. Jeff Duncan, can you just stand? Can you just stand and say hey? A lot of you probably know him. And this guy was one of the first worship leaders in the vineyard in Stratford for John and Carol. And they just came, their family, and sowed their lives into us because we were just little church in a living room, went from 6 people to 350 like that because people were hungry. And people wanted more than meetings. They wanted relationships. And that's what attracted me more than anything than to the vineyard was there was real love. There was real relationships. And I used to love to go to the leaders' meetings because I watched people actually were engaged and enjoyed being together. And one thing that God has been putting in my heart through the change, and we were at airport when it happened. We came back from our church plant to start the School of Ministry, the School of the Heart, because our passion has always been the next generation. And when it happened, and I won't go into all the details, but when it happened, we were just shocked, gutted. And for 6 months, we just kind of... You know, you'd hear a little this and a little that, and there'd be a little bit more communications. And we were in on the Tuesday closed meetings because we were department heads. But still, Peter and I are going, it still doesn't make any sense to me. And but what was an amazing part during those 6 months is God just challenged me. He said, will you love with nothing in return right now? Because to be honest, I didn't want to stay in-house. And I didn't want to go. And I know there's people in this room for sure today that are in that same place. That we want Jesus. I so appreciate, Dan, the central event of the cross and everything that you share. And that you know that worship is way more than music. It's who you are. And I feel, I shared this in the prayer room this morning, that I shared that this journey for us in these years, we were just talking about it early this morning, is he said, you know, you've known a lot about worship, you've known a lot about ministry, and now you're going to be a worshiper. And I really felt that God is doing a lot of things in many, many hearts. But reconciliation is a lifestyle. It's not just a weekend. And I'll tell you, these years... You know, it went from vineyard to partners and partners to catch a fire and all these things. But for me, it's the DNA of family. And there were just times I didn't like the behavior of any of it. And I didn't like my heart sometimes. But God is in the whole thing of He is the central event. And, you know, even in all this, there was codependency in me. There was a little bit more worshiping Mecca than there was Jesus. And, you know, He can just knock the weird edges off. And He has. But one thing He never throws, it always remains, is the love. And I just want to say, this has been one of my greatest honors and privilege to come. 6 months after everything happened, Mark DuPont, who was part of our cell group, we had a cell group because we're itinerants, we're weirdos who live in suitcases all the time, so we needed an anchor, a group of accountability, and he had come back from a trip, and he just stood up at the front, and he said, I'm just going to say it, just like you said it, I'm going to keep it real. He said, I think there's a lot of grief in this room, and it's not over till it's over. And if you're feeling that, and I mean 99.9 of the people just stood up, and the wailing, and but the commitment in our hearts was no matter what, we are family. And we've had a few amazing times where we've been asked to work with the leaders in the UK, the Vineyard leaders, and we've been just starting to go back to Vineyard churches and do marriage weekends and many things. But that's my desire, is that we just, if we never pick up the mic, that we can be in the same, and same heart, same mind, because you can't change DNA. You can't change DNA. I mean, I've worked in every kind of church, and spirit-filled, non-spirit-filled, you name it, but you can't change DNA, and I felt it. I'm so comfortable, but what is hard for me still is, why should we have to pick who we live with? And so in the spirit, I feel like God wants us, even though that there's different expressions and names and events, that in heart and in spirit, this changes not, because it's the same Jesus. And yeah, that's my heart. Is that all right?
That's all right. Whoa. What can I say? As we went through that season, and it's just what Ruth was saying, you know, you're not healed until it doesn't hurt anymore. And we're big on just getting really healed so that it is a scar, but it isn't, there's no pain attached to it. And, you know, we can't do anything about the past except get over it. Get past your past. And learn from mistakes. You know, I think what is happening in the body of Christ today is a realigning and really a coming together in unity of leaders around the world for a world revival, because you don't have to look too far to see that the world is going down pretty fast. And that it's going to take a united front of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to you know, combat the darkness. And that blessing that comes by us dwelling together in unity. And although we're different, and instead of rejecting the differences, embracing the differences, realizing that none of us, you know, has a corner of the market on the Holy Spirit. We just have what He's uniquely deposited in each stream. And we need to embrace those streams and not feel like we're better than anybody else, but see the need of all the streams becoming the river of God. And really honoring one another. And really, you know, I think our heart in coming here is just to honor the Vineyard. We can't change what's happened, but we have got healed, I think, from the grief and the pain of the past. But we've also learned from the pain of the past that, we're not enemies. We're brothers and sisters. There's one body. And we need to respect the differences between each stream and be open to whatever God wants to do through us en masse. Amen? So we just bless you today and really thank you, Ruth, for inviting us to be a part of this. It's a real honor. And, we bring that from Toronto as well. It's a real honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. The honor is ours. I was just so thrilled that you'd say yes. So I'm going to invite people to come, and we're in a good position. And let's pray the prayers that need to be prayed. So if this thing is on your heart, I don't want you to come. It's fine to just be seated and stuff, but if something is stirring in your heart about this, I know the intercessors, come on up and let's just wait on the Lord and the discerning team. Peggy, Carol, come on. Let's come on up and let's just don and come on up. Anyone who wants to come up. This is a heart-to-heart. This is praying out with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that we're going to do is just move into prayers. Let's be sensitive and just move into prayers of repentance, prayers of forgiveness. And then we'll move into the prophetic words and the declarative words and the other things that the Lord puts on our hearts. So come on over. Let's get close. Come on. Let's get close now. I'm holding the mic, and when you have a prayer, I want you to raise your hand, and I will hand you the mic so that everybody can join in with your prayers and the prayers that are being prayed. Anyone can join us. So, Lord, you have brought us to this place. You have put this on our heart. Lord, you love Canada and you love unity. And you made us a family. So, Holy Spirit, just come and release the prayers that are on the heart of Jesus. We don't want to pray out of our own soul, but we just want to pray what's on the heart of Jesus. Show us, Lord. Jesus, talk to us. Just speak to us what we need to repent of, what we need to forgive. We're just going to wait on the Lord.
Father, we stand here in your sight today. We have fallen into the hands of the living God. Oh. I stand here, Lord, on behalf of the body, your beautiful body, Jesus, your beautiful body, the body of Christ. And I ask forgiveness. I ask forgiveness for where I've entered into the spirit of the accuser of the brethren. Where I have accused and judged and condemned my brother, my sister. Where I have accused, condemned, and judged you. And where I have accused and condemned and judged myself. I repent from this destroying disease that has destroyed your body from the inside out. Oh.
Lord, we ask your forgiveness as a church where tremendous public criticism came on John Wimber and John Arnott and the board, and Lord, where it must have been crushing. Father and Randy Clark and just everybody who was involved. And Father, we just want to say, God, forgive us for that. And Lord, we release forgiveness. For some have felt it was American leadership decision that brought division onto Canadian land. So, Father, we release forgiveness for our own heart's sake. We release forgiveness to American leadership that profoundly affected the Canadian church and brought deep pain and deep sorrow and division on Canadian soil. And God, we ask your forgiveness, and we release forgiveness. Father, we ask your forgiveness for the ways that we have profaned your name among the nations. Lord, where we have grieved your spirit and broken your heart. Lord, where perhaps in any way we started in the spirit and the doors of the enemy, I mean, they were just somehow got in there and ended in any kind of carnal behavior. We ask your forgiveness. We ask your forgiveness, O Lord, for all the pain and the rubble across the nation. The disillusionment that it created, the separations of relationship, the lack of understanding, the lack of love for one another, Lord. Lord, where we ask your forgiveness in every way we did as much damage as we did good.
Father, just come. God, I just ask for the shame that has just been exposed and just draped over this church, God. The shame, Lord, of just defeat, the shame of separation. Break it, God. Break it, God. Break it with your mighty fist. Lord, the shame of defeat, the shame of separation, Lord, just of being cast out, of being forgotten, God, of being left out, of being left alone, God. Forgive us, Lord, for putting shame upon people or listening to the voice of shame that accuses us, that speaks to us. Forgive us, God, of just letting it beat us down, of taking the power out of your church, God. I just stand before and I ask you, forgive us, God, that you remove it from our hearts and our minds and our spirits, God. Lift off the spirit of shame. Wipe it away, God. Wipe it away. Bring an honor, God, and a purpose and a true identity to your church, Lord. Because out of that, Lord, there's overflow and unity to take back what is yours. To take back what is yours. To fight, Lord, for truth and justice. So go deep, God, into our hearts, Lord, and remove the shame. Wipe it away, God, and keep it away. Protect us, Lord, where it wants to be ugly and it wants to dominate and it wants to rule, God. Give us a holy hatred for it, God, that we will kick it out. That we will stand in unity and love. Forgive us, God, for when we've entertained it and let it rule. Just, Lord, we repent. Just make our hearts new, God. To follow you. To live the life that you lead your church, God. Oh, bless us, God.
When I came into the vineyard, I felt very much like what's been shared up here. This was home. And in 1994, the Spirit of God moved in our church, and I became a different person. And my expectations changed tremendously. And the Toronto Airport Vineyard, the ministry that was going on there at that time, was something that God was pouring out on his church, period. And the vineyard was receiving the blessing of this. We were in the middle of it. We were part of it. We weren't the whole thing, but we were definitely a part of it. And many of our lives have changed. Many of you that are here right now know exactly what I'm talking about, and you've seen the effect of it. When we began to pray over this thing, the word that kept coming to me was disappointment. You see, the kingdom of God was birthed in our hearts, and we began to see God moving in strange and different ways, but he was tangibly in our midst, and we were laying hold of it, and he captured our hearts. And what happened was our expectations got crushed. Because we could see with our heart the kingdom of God was in our midst. And we wanted to see the kingdom of God come to those who were outside the church. We wanted to see the fullness of his spirit moving. We wanted to see the miraculous. We wanted to see people come to Christ because they saw the testimony of the power of the Spirit. And not just our own words and opinions. And when this separation took place, something shut down. And the vineyard experience was different from that point forward. It wasn't the same. And I believe that the disappointment birthed some bitterroot expectations. And so, Lord, we confess to you that we were disappointed. We were a people who felt crushed and sorely disappointed in our spirits. Father, you had put something in us, and you had birthed expectation in us, God, and then it was taken away from us. And somehow, Lord, we allowed bitterness to come into our hearts. And so we ask, God, that you would forgive us as on behalf of the vineyard for every way that we became bitter, the way we allowed disappointment to cloud our heart, to put us in a place where we no longer expected you to move. Father, we ask for your forgiveness. We pray that you would wash over it. We ask, God, that you would wash off of us this bitter root expectation. We renounce it, Lord. We own it, and we renounce it in the name of Jesus Christ. We bring it to death on the cross. And we say, Lord, you are our expectation. We renounce the idol of the vineyard and what it had become. We renounce the moving of our experiences. Lord, we let those experiences, we set them down right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we look to you. We look to you alone, God, to be our hope, to be our expectation. So, Lord, we pray that you would come and you would heal those places of our heart right now that need to be touched. Those places that have been wounded, Lord, and we've been walking wounded and we haven't even realized it. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would move right now in our midst, that you would come and that you would heal our hearts. Lord, soften them and tender, make them tender again. Father, wash off all of the grunge that came because of it. Yeah. Lord, make us expectant again. God, we look to you and you alone. We see your word. We declare it to be true. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the prophetic words that have been spoken over the vineyard. And we look to you, God, and you alone.
Lord, you're the God of redemption. And I just pray for joy in each of us right now, that we would focus, Lord, on the light and the truth and the future and the hope that we have in you. So, Lord, lift off any grieving spirit. And we look to you, Lord, the God of redemption. Fill us, Lord, with joy. Now, Lord, I have faith and expectation that we're going to bust the walls down today in joy and celebration. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord gave me a mind picture that we've been like children of a divorce, those of us who are not pastors, and we were torn from our brothers and sisters in the custody agreement, and there has been resentment. I know that I was just searching my heart, and there's been resentment. Because I felt I was torn in my heart from my brothers and sisters. And I felt the shame when people would accuse me of being part of what happened in my ministry online. And I didn't have a voice. So I just... Father, I just release that resentment now on behalf of my brothers and sisters, the everyday Joes who just sit in the pews. Lord, those of us who have been torn and have felt that we were children of divorce, and we renounce that spirit of divorce in Jesus' name, and we find our identity in who you say that we are. Thank you, Father God.
And Lord, we renounce that spirit of divorce in our land, in the name of Jesus, in the church, in our streams. And Father, that you will connect us, that you will connect us in whatever way it's to look like. And Father, that it would truly be a new day and a new beginning.
Yeah. On that same line, it's like the divorce and the children are there. And they see that something ugly is happening and that the mummy's going one way and the daddy's going the other. And then it causes fear to rise up that in the not understanding what's going on or why it's happening, that there's just this sense that we better sit here and be quiet. We're not sure what's the right thing to do and what's the wrong thing. So somehow it has frozen us. And that somehow that the Holy Spirit has been resisted. Because it was like, if you do that, that was bad, and you'll be the next one on the chopping block. And so we've sat under this restraint. So, Lord, I pray that you would release the enemy's hold over your children. Oh, Lord, that we would not, if we feel to dance, that we would dance. If we feel to shake or roar or whatever it is that you would put in us, Lord, that we would not restrain ourselves out of fear. Lord, I pray that you would break the enemy's hold over us, that there would be no fear on the children, that they would be able to just dance and sing before you, Lord, that our hearts would be released, Lord, that all that you have for us, Lord, that the vineyard would not sit and be good boys and girls, but Lord, that we would be released, released, released.
Father, we just speak to those ones who saw what was happening and said, I don't want anything to do with either. Lord, those who just were so disillusioned with the divorce and just left home altogether. Lord, we repent for our arrogance and thinking that this isn't going to, that we can get along without each other. Whoa, Lord, we repent of that arrogance, that sin of idolatry. And Lord, we break the power of that. We ask you, Lord, we speak to those who left altogether, who just gave up on church because they saw this hypocrisy between the vineyard and Toronto. And Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, to bring those people home. Bring those people home, Lord. Many of those people, sons and daughters of the leaders and people, members of the church families. Father, we just speak to those ones. Break off that reproach today, Lord. And bring those sons and daughters home. Bring them home.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I specifically call in the late 20s and the 30-somethings, Father. There's this huge gap in the world as we go. We just see so many that they say, I'd rather go to Starbucks. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be the church. And Lord, yet they are the church. They can't not be the church because you're in them, Lord. And so we just call them in, Lord. We call them in. And Father, I just stand as a mom in the church in any way where we didn't really represent your heart, that nurturer and that care through it, that we were all just kind of getting through it, and Lord, that the scattering, and Father, would you just raise them up? Would you just give them one of your kisses? Would you speak the hope to the depth of their hearts? Lord, that this is a new season. This is a new day, and winter is definitely over. And Lord, the only great thing about winter is our roots go much deeper. There is much more growth. There is much more activity, but it's an inside job and it's a depthening job. And it's so we will stand in the days ahead. And so, Lord, lo, the winter is past. Behold, the spring is here. God, we just call those people in. We call in those future family members and all their little kids, Lord. The legacy of honor and love, God. We just call them in, Father. We call them in.
Because I don't go to a vineyard or a Partners in Harvest church, I feel like just to stand on behalf of the rest of the church and the body of Christ and to repent on behalf of word curses and judgments and careless words that have been spoken into this separation and spoken over the vineyard, that there has been a decree, and it's not come from a malicious intent, but it's come from a carelessness and an easy judgment that has gone over the vineyard that said, you made a mistake and your days are over. And I repent on behalf of the church. And Lord, I just say that we renounce that posture, that foolishness, that deception, that didn't judge rightly the incorruptible seed of the kingdom that's so strong and so real and so vibrant in this stream of God. And I repent on behalf of every word curse and every sound of judgment and every misunderstanding and every careless word that has been spoken over the vineyard in Canada. And I ask for forgiveness, Father. I ask for forgiveness on behalf of my people. I ask for forgiveness, God. And I ask for a complete washing away. A complete washing away of all that which those curses and those words have brought in inhibiting and hindering the vineyard in any way. And I turn that around right now, and in the name of Jesus, I just release a blessing and a decree that there is life, that there is life, that there is an abundant life, that there is great life, that there is great future, that there is great hope, that there is great fruitfulness that is going to spring up, that your name is being changed from cut back to fruitful vine, that your name is being changed, and that there is more before you than behind you.
Thank you, Father. Father, where Gary and Joy have experienced the weight of those judgments in the church, the greater church, Father, we ask now that you would wash them with the blood of the Lamb. Father, where it's made their hearts sick, where it's made their spirits heavy, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would heal their brokenness. Lord, this has broken their hearts. This has broken their hearts, Lord. The constant criticism. Lord, you told us not to do that to our leaders. We did it. When their hearts were just to serve you to the best of their ability. Jesus, forgive us where we abused our leaders. Oh, Lord, wash them. Just wash them. Would you extend your hand to her? Just your hand of healing. Oh, God. They worked when they were tired. They worked when they were sick and tired and broken, dead and hurting and wounding. And yet they worked and they served. I saw it. I saw their love for the church. God, now we cry out for them. God, heal them. Oh, God. Heal their broken hearts. Heal their suffering, their pain. Lord, release healing to their physical bodies. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I've been praying for Gary's ears for years. Lord, open up his ears. Heal his ears, Lord. Heal his physical body. Heal Joy, Lord. You know her physical needs. Father, we just command a blessing upon them. We command your blessing upon them. Lord, heal them, O Lord. Redeem them, Father. I pray that their years, their senior years, would be greater. Lord, as a mama and a papa to millions, Lord, their tapes, their teachings, their service in the body. Lord, I release provision in the name of Jesus. Father, open up the bank account. Lord, they have labored for you. They have labored in your house. Now, Lord, labor in their house. Bless their children. Bless their grandchildren. Bless their babies. Bless their marriage, Lord, with new love and new life. Bless their health, that they will not be robbed of one another in their senior years. Oh, bless them. Healing. Release the healing. Release the comfort of your spirit. Release the heart of the Father's words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We love you. Release the love, Lord. Release the love. Release the love. Drench Gary right now, wherever he's at, in your love and in your comfort and in your arms. Lord, visitation. He's a carpenter. Visitation. Lord, I pray for that visitation for Gary and Joy, that they will see Jesus, that they will behold your face, that they will see the love in your eyes. And Lord, now, not when they go, but now, Lord. Lord, now, we honor them today. We bless them today. We love up on them today. We thank you, thank you, thank you for all the work that you have done. We thank you, thank you, thank you for the foundations that you have laid in this country and your faithfulness, your purity, and your love for Jesus and the poor. Oh, God. And Lord, Joy is an intercessor. She has the mother heart of God for this nation. So, Lord, we take the lid off. It's time for the church to arise and carry this burden that she has been carrying. We call forth the intercessors from the closet, the prophetic intercessors, to carry this movement. And we bless them in the name of Jesus to carry the work that she has plowed the ground so faithfully year after year after year. Thank you, Lord. Raise them up to hold up their hands, to carry this movement forward to the things of the Spirit. Oh.
So this is what I was reading this morning. This is Hebrews 11, if I can see. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterward. Now he is seated in the place of highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. Think of all he endured when people did such terrible things to him, so you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. And it goes on to talk about how God disciplines us. And that it's really good, actually, in the end. And that no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But after, there is a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and stand firm on your shaky legs. And mark out a straight path for your feet. Then those who follow you, though they are weak and lame, will not stumble and fall, but will become strong.
We want to.
I do have a word.
Yes.
Peter and Heather, I want to talk to you for a moment, and I want to say to you that you've really touched our hearts. When we invited you in here, you don't always know what kind of chemistry is going to take place, and whether we were inviting strangers or friends or family members, and it really became apparent that you counted us as family and that you didn't abhor the Vineyard name. But you actually said, we identify with the Vineyard name. We're still Vineyard in our hearts, even though we've kind of been displaced persons. And that's such an honor when you come and you say, we still want to hold that family name and be counted as one of you. And so, as kind of the pastoral overseer of the Edmonton Vineyards, I just want to say to you that we call you members of this church, that you belong to us, and you have free passage into this place whenever you want to come. We invite you. We love you. And we want you to call this home. Now, we know that you're itinerants, and it's hard to call any place home, but please call Edmonton home. You belong to us. We belong to you. And we love you. We love you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, divorce is broken, and we're married. We're married in the Spirit. And we're going to celebrate communion with you under the wedding canopy. We go from the cross and healing to the wedding canopy. Let's pray blessing over Peter and Heather and Catch the Fire Ministries. So come, let's join around them and let's pray a prayer of blessing.
The spirit of divorce is a spirit of broken covenant. Oh! So today, Father, in the sight of the great cloud of witnesses, yes, we reestablish our covenant, yes, our family covenant, our heart covenant. Father, we offer you this gift. We offer you this gift of healed, reestablished covenant to the honor and glory of your name. And we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this reestablishing. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
That by the power of the blood of the Lamb, the lid is off.
Yes, Lord. Yeah.
Father, we speak your blessing over Catch the Fire.
Yes.
Father, that you will use them mightily in the nations.
Yeah.
And Father, that our paths will constantly intersect as beautiful ribbons,
yes,
intertwined, as a rope intertwined by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
So, Father, let it look exactly like it's supposed to look, what's on your heart. Let this flow through the nation and through the nations. Lord, we got bad press. Now we're speaking good press. Good press. That your name would be lifted up and glorified in this thing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just thank you for the intercession that's been offered on behalf of the Vineyard. I thank you for the prayers that Susan offered up for us. And Lord, as a Vineyard now, we offer those same prayers up for the Catch the Fire ministry. Father, we acknowledge that they've come under fire.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask that you would intercept all those words and all those curses and all those judgments, that you would lift it off them. I pray, Father, that you'd lift it off that ministry. You'd lift it off every leader that's been a part of it. Father, all the people that are identified with that ministry, Lord, we ask that you would lift that off of them, all of those words, all those things, and we speak blessing to them in place of it. Lord, come and heal their wounds and come and restore the ministry that you have for them. And Father, in any way that the body of Christ in our ignorance has derailed what you want to do through them, we ask for forgiveness. We pray that you would restore, redeem, and give it back, Lord. Make it better than it was. In Jesus' name.
We bless marriage help. We bless older people who stayed married a long time. The Vineyards had lots of need for help. So we just welcome all the help that there is in the body of Christ for marriages. It's the heart of God. We bless you. And I just want to speak God's promises over you. I will never fail you. I'll never forsake you. The Lord is your helper. So I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? You are called to the city of the living God. Thousands of thousands of angels in joyful assembly. And the assembly of the firstborn children whose names are written in heaven. And God himself, who is all of our judge. We're safe. And we've come to the spirits of the redeemed in heaven who have now been made perfect. We have good community. And Jesus, who mediates between God and the people. And to his blood that graciously forgives instead of crying out for vengeance. This is our community. And we bless your work with marriages.
Thank you, Lord. Terry Harsh, where's Terry Harsh? Terry, can you come? You have a word to pray over us. At our very first Vineyard Prayer Summit in Regina, Saskatchewan, the Lord gave Terry a prophetic word in Ezekiel 37 about the dry bones. Because we felt through all this, we became dry bones. And now I feel like we can pray and prophesy that again over Catch the Fire, over Canada Vineyard, and our fresh union and our fresh marriage. And the Lord is going to breathe life. So, Terry, go for it.
This is where we are today. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to the valley filled with bones. And he led me around among the old dry bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground. And then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "Oh, sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to breathe into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke these words just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all around the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as they had been before. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. And then he said to me, "Speak to the winds and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again." So I spoke as he commanded me, and the winds entered the bodies and they began to breathe. And they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army of them. And then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel.
Yes, Lord.
They are saying, we have become old dry bones. All hope is gone. Now give them this message from the sovereign Lord, O my people. I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. And then I will bring you back to the land of Israel."
Yes.
And when this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. Lord, let this word settle on us. Let it rise in us. Let it stir in us. Let it echo from this day forward in us again, 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 again. These are the words of the Lord over us. And we will know, Lord, as you do this, that you are the Lord. Amen.
May we celebrate communion with you and joy. And we're just going to worship for just a little while before we go off to lunch. And when Dan feels it's right to finish, we'll go off to lunch today, go through the doors, the same routine as yesterday, and enjoy your lunch.